Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. It's Wednesday night. We're talking about the fruits of the spirit again tonight. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to talk about self-control tonight. I was just telling Roxanne a minute ago, it might be a short one. Self-control is kind of self-explanatory, and we'll go through that, and we'll kind of recap the fruits of the spirit a little bit and talk about how we can continue to use those and build on that to become better Christians and more effective and just more impactful to the people around us, which is our goal. Should be our goal as Christians every day. So before we start, you guys just pray with me and we'll jump into it. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the sunshine today. It was so awesome to see that all day long. And I thank you for the blessings that you give us. Just the opportunity to be able to speak, God, and the opportunity to be able to dive into your word and talk about that. And God, I pray that you just use me tonight to speak that and just that it would be clear and we could walk away from here tonight knowing more about you and knowing how to reach people in a better way and how to treat people like you treat people and just to be more like you. God, I pray that you just continue to bless this church. God, help us to travel in the direction you would have us go. And we thank you so much for the opportunities that lay before us and just for the opportunities that are we don't even know we can do yet. I pray that you would be with Pastor Seth and his family as they get ready to settle in this week and just try to help manage that whole move, and it would just be easy and it would just be comfortable for them. And we're just so excited about that, and pray that you'd be with our family, God, our church family here, that you just continue to bless and you continue to bond us together, God, and just the way that only you can. We thank you just for all that you are, all that you're doing here, all that you're going to do, and God, how you're going to use each and every one of us. And pray that you just be with us tonight, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, self-control. What is it? The Google definition of self-control is, like I said, it's pretty self-explanatory. The ability to control oneself. Way to go, Google. In particular, one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them, in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. So the whole first part of that definition is kind of a duh definition, right? Like, okay, self-control, the ability to control oneself. But the last part of it is kind of what jumped out to me, where it says to control one's emotion or desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior in difficult situations. So that's where we find that self-control is the way we behave when things aren't optimal, when things aren't great, and how we can manage ourselves in those difficult situations. The word Paul used in Galatians is, it's a Greek word, I'm going to mess it up, but it's in krateia, basically the same thing. His definition used throughout the Bible, through the Bible, it was also synonymous with temperance, which was kind of the same way. The ability, temperance kind of, in the way I think about it, being moderation, kind of in the middle of things, being able to be temperate, to be unflappable, kind of, is kind of how I think about that, too. So, how do we get self-control? How do we control ourselves? What does that look like? How is that going to be expressed, and we're going to bear that fruit? Self-control to me, I think is one of the last things as Christians that we really grab hold of on that, but it's also one of the first things to go. So the ability to bear the fruit of self-control and the ability to give that to those around us and to express that comes from being able to understand the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And when all of those are present, it becomes easy to control ourselves. And it becomes easy to have that Christ-like behavior in those difficult situations. I think one of the ways that, like I said, one of the ways that it's expressed is it begins to be, it's just unflappable. When we're in those difficult situations, when we're in times where we're tired, where we don't feel good, where we're, you know, struggling to understand things, we still have an ability to not be frustrated or not show the frustration in a way that becomes unchristian-like. And it also, to me, is one of the first things that goes. So I'll notice in my life, whenever things are going really good, I've got a big, nice, pretty bow on life, and it's looking good, everything looks, it's great. It's great. But when something begins to falter, I get stressed out, or things get busy, or get worried, or somebody's sick, or we're struggling with whatever, whatever the issue is. You know, the kids are crazy, whatever the problem is. The self-control begins to be the one that snaps first. And sometimes that's expressed in an outburst of anger. Sometimes that's expressed in an outburst of a weird fleshly desire. Or sometimes it's just where we begin to, I think sometimes my self-control begins to be where I get reclusive. I don't talk about things. I don't begin to try to solve problems. I find myself becoming reclusive, and I'll pull away from anything and everything that could help me. And that's one of the ways that I know, like, oh man, something's not right. I'll notice that, you know, I'm not actively seeking God for a solution in a situation. I'm not actively seeking help from my spouse or friends or people that I go to when I have problems. And I'll be like, oh man, well, I'm lacking here. What's up? And it usually begins to be the first one we see, but I don't know that it becomes the symptom, but it's not always the cause. The fact that we're lacking in self-control is rarely the cause that I've seen. It begins to be that I've forgotten how to express the love. I've forgotten how to understand the peace of God. I've forgotten what joy feels like. And I get distracted and focusing on those other things that take my eyes away from how good things really are and how awesome God really is in my life. And when I begin to do that, I see that the self-control is not pretty. The bow is disheveled. The whole package looks like it's, you know, it was fragile and somebody stomped on it. You know, it begins to look differently. And I think that the way we combat that is just constantly being and doing our best to constantly live our lives in the Spirit in a way that we check ourselves. We try to check our thoughts. We try to think about, okay, this is how life's going today. We live our lives where we pray without ceasing. We don't always have to just mumble to ourselves. People would think we're really weird and be hard to get people to come to church if we were walking around mumbling prayers all day. But when we pray without ceasing, we have our mind on Christ. And when we have our mind on Christ, we're able to have that communication with Him and He with us in the ability to say, hey man, this is rough, Logan, and you pay attention here. Look at me. This is going to be tough. And when we're in that situation, we can walk closer with Him, and it helps us keep it all in the box. It helps us to have that good behavior in those difficult situations. And as we begin to struggle on things, it's like Peter when he got out of the boat. Man, he was super excited to get out of the boat and walk on water. But as he took a step or two, the waves and the wind and everything began to be scary. He took his eyes off Jesus and he began to slip. He was drowning, but he wasn't drowning because he didn't know how to swim. He wasn't drowning because he couldn't walk on water. He'd already shown that he could do that. Problem was, he began to take his eyes off Christ and he began to get distracted by the things around him. And that's what happens with us as well. We begin to notice that our fruit's not exactly right. We begin to notice that we're bearing the fruits of the flesh instead of the fruits of the Spirit. It's typically because we begin to focus on the things around us and rather than focusing on Christ, and we're not having that side-by-side relationship with Him. So the last fruit of the Spirit, self-control, we talked about, you know, kind of what it is, how it's explained, and that being the end of the fruits of the Spirit. And the last part of verse 23 there in Galatians chapter 5 says, against these things there is no law. So it doesn't matter what situation we're in. It doesn't matter what arena we're in, it, the fruits of the Spirit, when we begin to bear those, there's no law against being loving to someone. There's no law against understanding the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things, when we begin to express those things, people might get upset with us because because we have a good attitude in a poor situation. They're just jealous. That's all it is. But there are no laws against bearing the fruits of the Spirit. So I think that was kind of a cool way that he capped that scripture there. Tonight, I kind of want to go back over just briefly what it looks like and to just kind of recap the fruits of the Spirit just real quick. And we're going to look at all of them one more time, like I said. Understanding the love of God, understanding the kind of love that God has for us is the utmost important part of this. If we can't understand the way He loves us and we can't understand the kind of love, that agape love was what Paul talked about here. If we can't get that, we can't move into how well He provides for us through all these situations. That agape love is a love that is unconditional. It's a love that can't be earned. It's a love that can't be destroyed. It's the most holy, awesome kind of love that anybody could ever have towards you. And God has that kind of love to us. He loves us more than anybody ever will. And He loves us when we're good. He loves us when we're bad. He loves us when we do well. He loves us when we fail. He is unending in that. And when we begin to understand that, and we begin to understand that He is here to love us, and we are here to love Him, that He begins to work with us into these other things. So if we know that He loves us no matter what, we know that He's going to be with us no matter what, He's never going to leave us or forsake us. We know that. We can find joy in the most difficult situations. And when we talked about joy, it's not so much an emotion as it is a state of being. And joy is not something that ebbs and flows like our emotions do, which can be up and down in a matter of minutes. Joy is a lifestyle in which we live to where we understand that no matter what, God's looking out for us. No matter what, like Paul says, if we stay or if we go, we're winners. When we know Christ and we know Him in that depth of His love, whether we live or whether we die, we're going to be a winner either side of that. And we begin to have joy in that. And even though things are difficult, and even though we may not feel well, or we may not have the most money in the bank, we understand that we can still find joy in Him. And that kind of joy is something that I have yet to find can be synthesized. And I've never found it in another arena in my life. I see it and I feel it through my kids and my family and my wife, and I feel like that's one of the ways God delivers it to me. But the joy that God gives us is unsurpassable by anything I've tried to create, whether it be through buying things or eating things. I really like to eat, so sometimes I try to find joy in that. But it's just not the same. We're having, you know, experiences, doing things with friends or family, it's just not quite the same. And I have a hard time cultivating that in my mind. You know, sometimes we can cultivate happiness if we sit around for a little while and begin to think like, yeah, things are really good. I'm okay. I can cultivate that. But it begins to fade quickly. Joy is something that God gives us that no matter what the circumstances look like around us, we know we have hope in Him. We know we have that joy in Him. And it's just, there's nothing that matches that. So we understand that God loves us in that way. We understand that we can have joy no matter what the things around us look like. We can also begin to live a life of peace. And the peace that God gives is also, it's impossible to synthesize that peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that it doesn't make sense logically. It can't be quantified in a way that we can deliver it to each other. We can go buy it on a shelf. It's just, it's not like that. And as we understand the love of God, we operate and we live a lifestyle in joy, the peace just kind of falls into place. And we understand that he's in supreme control. He's the one who is at the helm of our ship, of our life, and he can drive the boat. He's pretty good at it. And when things get real bad, he can walk to the bow of the boat and say, "Peace, be still," and the waves and the wind, they listen to him too. So it begins to be peace to me in the fruits of the Spirit is also kind of a trust in him. It begins to, no matter what's going on, I'm good. I can be peaceful because I trust that he has a plan for me that is going to be a plan for good. Eventually, we're going to get there. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We know that. It's not saying that there won't be hard days or difficult days, but I can live a life of peace in knowing that he cares for me and that we're getting to a point where there'll be a good end, an expected end, a future and a hope, like it says in Jeremiah 29:11. So we understand love, joy, peace. Patience for me, very hard. We talked about that. I am not a patient person. Never have been. I struggle with this one. But when I began to study the word out here, it began to be the definition changed a little bit into more of a steadfastness. The King James uses the word long-suffering here. And it begins to point more toward continuing on and doing what God calls us to do in spite of difficult circumstances and in spite of hardships and obstacles we face, and being able to be patient through those difficult times and knowing that, like we just talked about, God has a plan for us. When we understand the love, joy, and peace, patience becomes easy. It becomes something that we can look to and say, yeah, man, this is tough right now. This is really hard. I don't know how or where we're going with this. I feel like we're walking in circles. I feel like I don't know the direction I'm supposed to be, but we're going to take one foot and we're going to put it in front of the other foot and we're going to walk, and eventually we're going to get somewhere, because when we do that with God, he leads us and we acknowledge him in all of our ways. He directs our paths. We know that. So we just begin to take one foot and put it in front of the other and understand that he has a plan for us. That's patience to me in that circumstance, in that instance there. It begins to be more of a steadfastness in that relationship. It begins to work through the obstacles. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness and goodness go together. When we have the first four, kindness and goodness begin to go together. Kindness is just a general kind of character. Our goodness is our character, and kindness begins to be how we deliver that to people. The random acts of kindness we can do to some people. The ability to express the goodness of our heart is how I view kindness. And when we understand that God has this plan for us, we can find joy in difficult circumstances. We know the peace of God. We live in that. We can find patience. We're working through that. We're walking through that. Then kindness and goodness are easy because we're already full of him. We're walking close to him. It's easy to give good things when you're full of good things. It's hard to give good things when you're full of bad things. So that relationship is critical to being able to give true, real, good, kind things to the people around us. You can do nice things for people, but not have a good heart about it, and it doesn't have the same effect. We talked about, I believe when we were talking about these two that night, we spoke about how someone can give you an incredible compliment, but if they do it in a tone that's flippant or in a tone that's just not sincere, you know it immediately. And someone can say something to you that may not be as enormous of a compliment, but if it's real and it's true, it'll mean so much more. And that's what we talk about with these two things. We want them to be in the overflow of what's inside of us. The kindness and the goodness are what we can give because we understand that. So after that, gentleness, it's just kind of the way we go about our life without having the monster peaks and valleys in our emotions or our actions. And gentleness is just kind of living that nice, kind of chill way and understanding even more that God's in control, which leads us into self-control that we have tonight. Even in the difficult circumstances, even in the hard times, we show that we can control the way we act. We show that we can control the way we respond to difficult situations, the way we respond in arguments or in conflict is going to be how we show the self-control that we have in the Spirit. And it's our ability to exhibit that self-control is directly related to our relationship with Christ. I know myself, when I'm not walking closely enough with Him, when I find myself fading in one direction or the other, the self-control becomes hard. We can't keep our flesh in check if we're not crucifying our flesh and getting it out of the way so that we can have a closer relationship with Him. So, fruits of the Spirit. Against these things, there's no law. There's no law against bearing and giving the fruits of the Spirit. I hope this series has been challenging to you. I know it has been to me. It's been a way for me to understand the way and the actual words that Paul used here to begin to give those and learn how to understand what they mean in real life. And I hope that's been something that you've gained from this too. And I really hope we can use these to impact others around us. You know, we seek out to have the fruits of the Spirit. We seek out ways to cultivate them better. If we notice we're lacking in an area, step back and say, oh man, this isn't good. And then begin to reevaluate in how we can get there. I hope that works for you in that. I know that it has for me. It's helped me in my abilities to respond to conflict, to respond to some difficult situations or arguments or whatever may come up. And I think that it'll help us all if we move forward with it too. So, end of the series. Fruit of the Spirit's over. I know next week we're going to have a business meeting. The week after that, we'll jump back into it and kind of be like it was before we started. The fruits of the Spirit will kind of be up and down, left and right. Who knows what's going to happen from week to week with that. And it may be some where I'll be here for a while. Seth and I may kind of jump in and out with each other here with it, but we'll keep going with it and we'll keep you up to date via Facebook or on the Wednesday nights. So, ready to close tonight. You pray with me and I'll pray for you and you pray for me. God, we thank you for this day. Again, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for the challenge and the opportunity to begin to cultivate, to bear, and to be able to give these fruits of the Spirit. It's an awesome opportunity to show an abundance to those around us of who you are. And when we're close to you, these things are easy. When we're close to you, God, these things are easy to find in you. And then when we find them in you, they begin to be easy to find in ourselves. And we find ourselves acting differently and more like you. And I just thank you for that, that you honor that relationship and you honor that closeness when we try to be right there with you and get ourselves out of the way so that you can be bigger in our lives. I thank you for that. I thank you for who you are and the way that you care for us, your providence through our lives, God, that's just unmatched. God, it's just unbelievable how much you care and you love for us. I do pray that you just continue to be with us in the church. Like I said, I pray that you just continue to direct us in the way you would have us go. The opportunities that lay before us, God, are immense. And I know that you're a God that's big enough to help us tackle things before us. And God, I'm just excited for what you're going to do with this church, in this community, and just the lives that are going to be changed. And God, just our opportunities to impact those around us. I pray that you just continue to inspire us to be closer to you. God, to not be weary in well-doing. God, not to get lazy in doing what you called us to do. And God, I pray that you just go with us this week and we would just know that you're close to us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so next week we won't be here. The week after that, I'll be here hanging out with you guys. So 2 weeks from now, I will see you at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Have a good week.